I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the last good news of 2021. I'll see you next year, and we'll have good news in the new year as well. But if you've got a Bible with you, would you turn in it to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15? And somebody says to me, I thought you had good news, Pastor Mike. Why are we in the book of Deuteronomy? You know, there are some people that talk about the Bible like it's in two sections, Old Testament, New Testament. I don't even like those words, even though we've used them for years, because it makes it sound like old and irrelevant and new, and this part relates to us. Even when I came out of Bible college, I even was kind of convinced myself that we ought to be New Testament Christians. We're in the New Testament. You know, the Old Testament was about legalism and the law, and the New Testament is about grace and the gospel. And then I got in and studied, and the more I studied, I realized that from cover to cover, the Word of God is life-giving. And even in some of those places like Deuteronomy and Leviticus that are Old Testament laws, that some people have the misconception that that's all old and irrelevant and we should skip over it. I've come to find out some of the most profound wisdom is found in the sticky pages part of our Bibles. That's the parts that still, after you had that Bible for 10 years, those pages are still stuck together because you've never taken the gold part. You've never opened up that section because it's Old Testament law. Now, if you've ever read these sections, I have to admit, yes, there are parts of the law code in the Bible that are a little bit irrelevant for us. They talk about different ways to sacrifice a goat or how to lance a boil, or, you know, there are things that had to do with an ancient culture that we don't necessarily deal with, or maybe it was for a time. But if you know how to read it, then you're going to turn to some passage and you'll turn the page and you just say, my goodness, this could have been written for me today. So Deuteronomy has, over the last season of my life, I'm not ready yet to make it a series, but usually it's a couple of years before I do a series that it's just part of my devotions. But Deuteronomy has been one of my most recent favorite books. And just for the reason that because it's one of the oldest and because it's one of the original source codes upon which a lot of the rest of the Hebrew Bible was built. And so I go back to Deuteronomy because it's kind of like, oh, this is where the principle comes from. And if you didn't get any of that, that's perfectly fine, because I just want to share a devotional this morning about how to be blessed in the new year. Who could use a blessing in this new year? So the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, it says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend to them whatever they need. And in Hebrew and King James, I almost read this whole thing out of King James because I think it did a great job of translating the Hebrew. But he says, not only whatever they need, but whatever they have want of. And so here is this wonderful principle. I don't know if you knew this, but the Hebrew law code had a lot to say about taking care of people who are poor and needy. Did you know that? This is one of the basic principles. In fact, Jesus preaches on that, that very ethic, as much or more than just about any other thing that marks somebody as being a follower of God. You remember when Zacchaeus said, here and now, I'm going to, you know, sell my stuff, I'm going to return it, I'm going to give to the poor. And he says, now this man's a child of Israel. And so this is a very much a part of it. In Hebrew, instead of hard-hearted and tight-fisted, instead of adjectives, they're verbs. And so it says, don't harden your heart and don't close your fist. He said, don't harden your heart and don't close your fist. I'm sharing with you a little bit about what my New Year's resolution is, by the way. And part of it has to do with trying to go a whole year without getting hard-hearted or without getting tight-fisted. I'm going to talk about what I mean by both of those things. And so this morning, if this is a word for you, you can grab a hold and steal my New Year's resolutions if you want, or share them with me. I can't promise you I'm going to make it a whole year because I'm still human and God's still working on me. But I just know if you don't set your goal on something, you're never going to accomplish anything. Amen? So most of what I have as a New Year's resolution has to do with my heart and the condition of my attitude towards other people. Deuteronomy 15:9, he says, be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near. And so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. Then they made appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. And so in the Jewish law, every seventh year, if somebody, and this really was amongst the Israelites, but if one of your brothers or sisters is in need and you loan them money, after 7 years, you're to forgive it. So every 7 years, you were to forgive their debts. Did they do it? Maybe every once in a while. Probably most of the time, they just ignored these things. Remember, they didn't have a Bible sitting on their lap like you and me. Another thing they did, according to the Bible, was every 7 years, they'd open up the law code and read it. So that's when they remembered, oh yeah, if somebody had sold themselves into indentured servanthood on the seventh year, you were to let them go. They broke that law often too. And on the seventh year, if they were had a piece of land and they were working on the seventh year, they were to leave it fallow so that the poor people that lived around it, they could get food from it and the wild animals could get food from it. Did they do it? Not very often. Even so much so that the prophet said that after they had gotten conquered, he says, finally, the land's going to get its Sabbaths because you're not going to be in the land and it's going to take it back. But we're all back at the original. This is not just an ancient law code, but listen to the principle of it, because it goes even deeper than just the words on the page. In verse 10, he says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. King James says a grieving heart. Don't let your heart be grieved. Isn't it interesting? God's not only concerned about us being generous, but also that we do it with the right heart. That it's not giving so that we get back. That it's not giving so that we get recognition. It's not like the Pharisees did, giving so that other people will think well of us or so that people will thank us. But we give just with a generous heart and not grudging. And then he says, listen, and then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. One of the things that I love about the old Hebrew law code is it's so very attached to very practical things. You hear it, it's very attached to the land. Many times did he said, in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So the Israelites were very much people of the land. That's why it was so devastating when they were exiled out of the land. But this is the root law of it. It says that in the land that you exist and in your fellowship with your fellow Israelites. And so it was very attached to the land and it was very attached to other people and relationships to other people. Sometimes in modern Christianity, we make our faith so spiritual and philosophical. It's just kind of about ideas and beliefs and thoughts. And sometimes we can make it so, the old phrase is being so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. But we can make it so out there and otherworldly that it doesn't make any difference in our actual daily life. And we come back to these original codes, as Jesus did, by the way. And he said, remember, when he talked about marriage, he said, it was not like this in the beginning. And Jesus was always going back to the original idea, because in the original idea, sometimes in the oldest scriptures, is where we find the most genuine version of the heart of the Lord. And so he says this, if you would do this, if you would just soften your heart, open up your hands, and be generous to those that are in the land, to your brothers and your sisters. And he said, because of that, and it's so obvious in Hebrew, it's on account of this, of what? Of your attitude and your heart and what you do with your hands. On account of this, God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Who could use a blessing in this next year? I just love this. Nobody? Well, I do. I'll put both of my hands up. I want God to bless me in all my work. And notice what it says is, it says God will bless you. So, you know, there are different kinds of blessings in the Bible. Sometimes people like Abraham or Jacob will speak a blessing on his sons. You know, may the Lord bless you. That's one kind of a blessing, is a spoken blessing. There's another kind, like in the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, blessed are those. And he just means, if you have this attitude, you will be blessed. And so I'm not just here today to speak a word of blessing over you, even though I'd love to. I'm not just here to give you a blessing, but I'm here to just talk about from the Word of God what it means and what kind of heart, what kind of attitude it takes to live the kind of a life that God blesses. It just comes automatically if we would just have this posture. And so here's three of the prayers for this next year that I have on my heart. The first one has to do with softening of the heart. Softening of the heart. It says, do not harden your hearts. And in Hebrew, it very much speaks like one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. And then he goes on in verse 10 and explains what that means is give generously to them without a grieving heart, without grudging. And so one of the things that we learn from this is that in order for us to follow the leading of the Lord, we have to have a soft heart. How many have discovered that? That a lot of being able to listen to the Lord, if you need direction from Him, if you need to be led by Him, it has to do with how our hearts are. If we have bitterness in our hearts, if we have unforgiveness, if we have anger in our hearts, it's just like putting both hands over both ears. Because you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit even if He hits you upside the head with a 2x4. You're not going to hear it. Because your heart isn't in the right place. Jesus said, as one of those Beatitudes that I mentioned, blessed are the pure in heart. Do you know it? Because they shall see God. So if you want to hear God, if you want to hear His voice, if you want to see His direction in your life, it starts with having a heart that's pure. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was talking to them about when they come to give a gift. By the way, I noticed a few years back, just in studying it, a lot of the times that the Apostle Paul talks about giving, it was a big offering that he was collecting from all of the churches in the dispersion, in the diaspora, so that he could return back to Jerusalem because they were having a famine. But he talks to them not only about being givers, but also about what their hearts are like. So he says, each of you should give what you had decided in your heart to give. You see what the heart is in that sentence? The heart is our attitude and the leading of the Lord on our hearts about doing something practical to benefit somebody else. Each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart. So the heart is the place where I decide things. Does that make sense? Whatever you've decided in your heart to give. And then he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That means with a bent arm. Not like someone is strong-arming you to do it. But for God loves what? Say it with me. A cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And so where does all that abundant blessing start? It starts with having a giving heart. And not only a giving heart, but it says God loves a cheerful giver. The word in Greek is hilaros. Sound like another word? Hilarious. That it just gives you great joy. He says, when you have that kind of a heart, and so it always begins with the heart. Jesus says everything begins with the heart. All of your actions, all of your decisions, start with having a good heart. So one of the first most basic things, and not because Pastor Mike says it, because the Word of God says it from beginning to end. If you want to see God's blessing in this new year, start with getting your heart right and keeping it right. Because if your heart's right, the rest will follow. If your heart's right, your decisions will be right. If your heart's right, your priorities will be right. So it always starts with, Lord, check my heart. Is there anything that needs a tune-up? Or even just a minor tweaking? Lord, search my heart today. So if I come into this new year, I just want to see your blessings flow. Amen. I love it. You know, Molly and I can teach and teach and teach and correct all we want. But every once in a while, the Lord just moves on the heart of one of our kids, and it's just so exciting. We encourage it with everything that we have, because, you know, if you've raised teenagers, there are other days that aren't quite like that. But a couple of years back, we were on the way down to a vacation in Southern Oregon, or maybe on the way to the Redwoods, and we stopped off at a fast food place to have some burgers on the road. And one of my sons just looked up, and he saw a man over on the other side that was just sitting there without food. And he could tell he was homeless. And he came up to me, and he says, "Dad," I said, "What?" He says, "Can I go give that man my burger?" I said, "Well, what am I going to say? Can you give him your burger?" "Of course, yeah, and you can have two," where that came from. You know, I was so proud of him and so excited because I didn't tell him. That was something the Lord laid on his heart. Man, when God does that in the heart of one of your kids, don't you just want to encourage it and say, "Yes, yes, yes, this is the stuff that makes all of life worthwhile. This is the thing." Because you know what? If he has a heart like that, can develop that on a regular basis, blessing's just going to follow him everywhere he goes. Anybody say amen? You know it's true. If you've had a giving heart, you know it's always more blessed to give than to receive. And blessing follows that kind of generosity. And so, and by the way, for that one kid, before he had come to us, he himself had been homeless for about a year. And so he knew what it felt like to be in a situation where you didn't know if you were going to eat that day. And so here he was with the food in front of him, but he looked over at somebody else and he says, "I know what that feels like." And he said, "Dad, can I give him my burger?" Oh man, friends, I tell you, our Heavenly Father looks down on us even when we have little victories. Even when we just have do something, a little thing nice for a friend or for a neighbor or for somebody that's in need. You think it makes your heart happy? Think about how it makes our Heavenly Father feel. And so one of my goals in this next year is just, Lord, keep my heart soft. Because I don't want the 2x4 method. I want you just to be able to wink at me and go like this and I know what to do. You know, I just want you to, as soon as God thinks it, I'm already doing it. I want to have that kind of sensitivity to him. And that doesn't come without being very intentional about it and praying about it. Lord, keep my heart soft. Keep my ears always listening for you. Because as long as we keep our hearts right, I believe his blessings will flow. Jesus promised this great verse, and you can grab a hold of it if you want. You want to read it with me? It says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That's all kind of a cooking metaphor, if you will. Picture how much flour can you fit inside that one cup? And he says this is how God wants to measure his blessing. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and it's still running over. That's the kind of measure. Or do you want the stingy kind of blessing? Do you want to just kind of, you know, just kind of want the cup is almost full, you know, but it's not quite. Is that the kind of how you measure when you're cooking? Or maybe you just want the even one, just cut it off, and I just want enough to get by. I don't want any more. I don't know about you, but I like the pressed down, shaken together, running over kind of blessing. Anybody else? And so he says, if you want to see that kind of blessing, that's how you need to be a blessing. Don't be a just enough kind of blesser. Don't be a, well, that'll do. That's just barely enough. Be the kind of abundant blesser where you say, if it seems like it's done, then maybe I should give just a little bit more. I just love it. And by the way, I'm not going to take up another offering when I'm done, so don't get nervous. This isn't because tithes are down, or this isn't because you're not generous. This church has always been generous. I'm just preaching the word and encouraging the faithful today. I'm just reminding us of what it's like to live a blessed life. And, you know, I got to tell you another true story. You know that, right? All my stories are true. And I've been here long enough to where you know that's true because my family come here. And if it's not true, you can ask them. There's almost always a witness for it. But last summer, I think it was last summer, and our brother Dick Wilson passed away. And I love this brother, and his wife Evelyn is a part. Evelyn, hi, if you're watching today. But he went home to be with the Lord, and we had the funeral outdoors because COVID had just started. And the day before that funeral, my friend Jesus DePaz called me. Now, Jesus is a pastor in Wenatchee, and we've done missions trips. We've built churches all over Latin America and pastors' institutes. And, You know him. Many of you that have been here for a while, you know. He's one of my dearest and closest friends and mentors. And he has opened up so many opportunities and taught me so much about life and ministry. And he just calls me out of the blue. He's got no problem asking me for things because he knows it's never for him. But he calls and he says, Brother Mike, he goes, I need to build a church. I said, all right, where? He goes, outside of Santa Rosa up toward the Aguas Calientes. And I said, oh, I know where that place is. And I said, all right. And he goes, yeah, there's a young couple. He's always doing this. He finds young couples, raises them up, sends them out to plant churches. And there's a couple hundred people meeting and a bunch of kids. And I said, all right. I said, how much do you need? And he goes, he says they can do it for about $4,300. So that's not limpiras, that's dollars. Could you imagine building anything for $4,300? Man, that's just crazy. They can build a whole church down there because it's out of concrete blocks and a steel roof and they got nice weather down there. They don't need permits. If you can build it, you can build it. And so it's just great what you can accomplish in a place like this. But I said, yeah, brother. I said, that'd be great, brother. I said, let me pray about it. I'll call you on Monday and we'll see what happens. He goes, all right. And next day I'm at this funeral. And Evelyn comes up to me after we had the service, and this is Dick's wife, and they've been faithful believers, been part of East Hill Church for many years, and back in the day, she even headed up a stewardship campaign for their new building project years ago because she was on their church council. And then the day of the big give, there was a snowstorm. And so it got canceled. It has nothing to do with the story. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But Evelyn comes to me, and he says, when Dick went home to be with the Lord, we had both decided we had a lump sum of money and we wanted to give towards a special project and stuff. So I was praying about it yesterday and the Lord just told me, go talk to Pastor Mike because he'll know what to do. That's literally what the day before on Friday as I was talking to Jesus. She says, go talk to Pastor Mike because he'll know what to do. I said, Evelyn, how much money are we talking about? She goes, about $4,500. And I said, yeah. I said, I know exactly where that's going. I said, I had this conversation and it was just so wonderful. It was easy. None of that goes to me. I'm just a conduit. I just receive it and send it over there and that church is built there. I can't wait for the COVID to clear so we can go down there and take pictures and see this church that we built. I haven't even gotten to visit it yet. But it's just, I share that story as saying that things like that can happen if we just keep our ears open and our hearts soft, if we're not so hard to get a hold of. So I just said, this year, Lord, I don't want to miss out on any opportunities. I want to always be listening. Lord, what do you have for us next? And by the way, it's not just listening for my own sake or for my own needs, but it usually has to do with me reaching out and doing something in somebody else's life and just being a blessing. Amen. The second part is, he said, don't harden your hearts and don't be tight-fisted. So here is this other verb. It's to open the hand. And so it's actually a double verb. This is the way Hebrew talks. When it wants to emphasize something and say very or truly or very much, when it wants to double down on the verb, it says the verb twice. And so this phrase is patoach tiptach et yaraka. Both those first two words are a form of the word patach, which means to open. So he says, open your hand. Truly open it. Or another way to say it is, open it wide. Don't just open it like this. Don't just be like this. He goes, open it wide all the way. Open up your hands wide, and I'll pour out a blessing into your hands. Thou shalt, King James, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother. That awesome. Thou shalt. It's not a suggestion. If you want a blessing, this is how you get a blessing, is you have open hands. The problem is sometimes we look at the need and it's so overwhelming. There's so much that can be done. Pastor Tim and I were just talking beforehand about brothers were having a conversation at their Bible study about what could we do to help solve the homeless problem. That's a big question. Have you ever thought through philosophically? How do you solve the homeless problem? It's so much that has to do with addiction and with mental health and not only that, but systematic challenges. There's all sorts of root causes to that type of thing. But if you try to wrap your brain around how to solve homelessness, man, that can be overwhelming. But I told him, I said, you know, maybe a better question is, how can we help some homeless people? You know, what could we do to minister? Because that's something that's doable. That's something these hands can accomplish. We did that even just with our reindeer run. We were able to give $11,000 into the community to help people with the food bank and with Meals on Wheels. But that wasn't out of us. That was just us receiving a blessing and passing it on. How many are with me? And so there's a part of this attitude of charity and generosity that is meant to be contagious and is meant to open up a blessing. And so did you notice in this verse, he says, in verse 11, he says, there will always be poor people in the land. Literally in Hebrew says, there will never be a lack of poor people in your land. Never. Does that sound familiar? Jesus actually said that. I think he was referring to this verse in Deuteronomy. I think for Jesus, this was his Bible, by the way, is the Hebrew scriptures. And so the story is when that woman comes to pour out the perfume and anoint Jesus. Do you remember that? And one of his disciples, I think it was Judas, that said, oh, you shouldn't pour out that perfume. We should sell it and give it to the poor. And Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you. Do you remember that phrase? Some people say that and misunderstand that to say, oh, Jesus is saying, you know, there's always going to be poor people, so don't worry about it. Just leave them. You don't have to pay any attention to that. That is absolutely opposite of what he was saying. He says, the poor you will always have with you in Mark, and you can help them anytime you want. But me you will not always have. And so he wasn't saying that it's not important to give to the poor, because so many other places he talked about it. But he was saying in that instance that there is a time and a place that we should be extravagant with our worship just as much as we're extravagant with our charity. That we ought to be just excited when we come in to tell the Lord how much we love him and how much we adore him and how much he means in our life. That we ought to be that extravagant also with the practical things we do once we leave this place. That the worship ought to also pour out through us in the way that we reach out and love other people. How many are with me so far? It's not one or the other. I believe they both feed each other. My extravagance in my relationship with Jesus pours out in my love for other people. They're both part and parcel of the same thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, if you want, read this with me. It says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, then he adds and says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Listen to that. Said, it's not that all of those other things are all not important. All of them are important. It's really important to have faith, to look after our speech, to add to our knowledge, to have earnestness and love for the Lord. But he says, be also careful. If you're going to excel in all of those things, be careful that you don't forget to excel in charity as well. Actually, that phrase, grace of giving, is just one word in Greek. It's charity. It's just where we get the word charity. Be sure that you also excel in charity. That you also, whatever else you're good at, we can be great at worship. We can be great at communicating the word. We can be great at small groups. We can be great at organizing children's ministry and youth ministry. We can have vibrant all sorts of support groups within the church. But if we aren't great at charity, if we aren't great at blessing people that don't come here, then the rest of it just kind of falls to the ground. I have another story about Jesus, and Molly will remember this one, but we were in Chicago one time and walking to dinner after one of the conference sessions, and on the way we ran into a guy that was living on the streets, and as happens in just about any big city, he came up to us and asked us if we had any spare change, and I forget what. He had a story about needing to get on the bus or whatever, and you know, if your mind is like mine, it just goes to, you know, yeah, he's probably going to take it and go around to the to the liquor store or something and you don't want to be an enabler. You guys, you ever do those mental gymnastics when someone's on the street corner with a cardboard sign and or whatever? I have all sorts of different things that go in. And there are sometimes, especially when we're down in Honduras, I usually just end up giving them something. But, you know, there's wisdom in all that too, right? But Jesus, most often, and I always learn from him, if he's going to give them something, he makes sure that he preaches at them first. And so they got to kind of sing for their supper, so to speak. They got to listen to him love on them and prophesy to them and speak into their life. And so he can do that within about 30 seconds. He knows somebody's life story and he's given them a word. Anyway, so he just grabs a hold of this guy and at first doesn't say anything, but just begins speaking into his life and speaking about the Lord. And you could tell this guy had been to church because he knew where to say amen. And, you know, oh, yeah, I believe in God and all that stuff. You know, whether he did or not, I don't know, but he was getting it. And Jesus is just preaching at it. And then, you know, you could just tell Jesus, he was at the end of this, he was going to make a contribution to this guy. So as he usually does, he goes, how much do you need? And he looks at me, he says, Brother Mike, how much do you have? And it's always, he's always so generous with my money. He says, what do I have? So I don't know. So I look at my wallet and I'm digging around and he goes, come on, brother, don't be stingy. I'm a very generous person. Generous with my stuff. Anyways, I gave him everything that was in my wallet. And that guy went on and I just love it. You know, I just learned every time I'm around Jesus, whether wherever we are, whether we're in Honduras or Mexico or wherever, he turns to me and he says, Brother Mike, how much you got? I just know something good is about to happen. I just know that we're about ready to bless somebody, about ready to make a difference. And if I keep my hands tight, I'm going to miss it all. But if I open my hands wide, I've seen miracles happen. So much happens. And so I just want to give you a visual illustration. Can I? If I'm trying to give you something, in fact, can I do this? Camera, this is just a pen because it was just on the pulpit. I had nothing else. Brother, put your hands out to me for a second. But clench your fist as tight as you can. If this was a blessing and this was something valuable and I wanted to give it to you, if I try to put it in your hands, it's just going to fall to the ground. I don't know why that visual just stuck in my head as I was thinking about what it means to have a tight fist. People go a long time throughout their life and they say, how come I don't see that kind of blessing happening in my life? And maybe part of it's because your fists are clenched like this. You know, one of the things that we do just by nature, when we go through a season like COVID-19, where everything is out of our control, and I mean everything, we don't get to choose whether or not our kids go to school. We don't get to choose whether or not we wear a mask. In some jobs, we don't get to choose whether we get a vaccine or not. We don't get to choose whether the restaurants are open. Somebody else is deciding everything, and it's out of our control. Have you noticed? And it just... Every one of it, and I've seen it in so many different forms, you can decide how you've done it in your life. But sooner or later, just in human nature, we look around for something we can control. You know, I'm going to just, all right, this is it. Okay, I'll do the rest of it, but I'm going to do it like this. You know, I'm going to wear my mask, but I'm going to wear it sideways, cocked over. I'm going to wear it, you know, I'm going to put it on, but I'm going to have it just, it's going to be just like this. Just under my nose, because, you know, they can control my mouth, but they can't control my nose, man, my nose. I've got a free nose. This is America, doggone it. Or you wear it under your chin like this, which doesn't do anything, you know that. Or you can even wear it up here on your eyes like this so that you don't have to look at people while they're judging you. You know, whatever it is, wear it on top of my head like it's a beanie. You know, I'm just going to find some way, you know, this is my line and I don't cross this line. This is my place of control. And all right, it's human nature. It's normal. I'm sure I've done it in certain ways. But if we're not careful when we get through with that season without noticing it, you look down and your hands have just been clenched like this the whole time. And say, how is God going to put a blessing in your hands as long as your hands are closed? I just found such a profound, I read this verse and it was just like a word for me. You can grab a hold of it if you want. But he says in this next year, don't let your heart get hard and don't let your hands get clenched. Don't tighten up your fists. Keep your hands open. Not like this. No, open, open. Keep your hands open all the way, because then when he puts a blessing into your hands, that blessing just continues to flow. How many are with me? I don't want to be like, I'm not a collecting pool. I'm not a rain barrel of blessing. It doesn't just flow to me and then I keep it in a vault someplace. The blessing of the Lord flows like a river. We're a conduit of it. He blesses us and we keep blessing other people. And friends, it's hard to pass on a blessing and it's hard to receive a blessing if your hands are closed in a fist. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said it like this. Would you read it with me? He says, but when you give to the needy, there's that word again, by the way. Remember, that's the word that it said. I'm going to talk about it in a second. But in Hebrew, the needy, that's a lot of different things. But Jesus, when he talks about the needy, this is a very Old Testament principle. He says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, which is also, by the way, how I play guitar, but that's a different story. But don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What he's talking about is let it be done in secret. Don't do it to try to impress anybody else, because then you receive your reward. He goes, do it in such secret that your right hand gives and your left hand doesn't even know it did it. My translation is always that my right hand's a lot more generous than my left hand is. My left hand's the greedy one. My left hand's the stingy one. That's why, one last Jesus story, you tell me, come on, brother. He goes, what do you got in your pocket? What do you got in the envelope? He goes, come on, brother, you know you got deep pockets. And I said, yeah, brother, but remember, I also have very short arms. Hard for me to reach in there. But when I just keep my heart open, and when I keep my hands open, that's when the Lord pours out his blessing. I don't know if this is hard to imagine, because as you can tell, it's snowing outside. And what a day to wake up on the day after Christmas and there's snow on the ground. It's hard for me to believe. Just last Tuesday, I was in my little crusty crab boat, crabbing at Neatarts Bay, out on the Oregon coast, and it was 54 degrees. I can't believe it. That was Tuesday. Man, the weather changes fast around here. I was out there on a beautiful day, no wind. I was out there with a guy in a kayak and a guy in a rowboat and me. And we weren't doing that great because the boats are catching crabs now, but it was sure beautiful. Sun almost peeking through the clouds. That's when you know you're from Oregon, when you get excited about the sun almost coming out. But it was beautiful and it was just warm. I didn't even have a coat on. It was so warm. And I was cruising out catching these crabs, and a lot of them were red rocks. And I finally caught a keeper, a dungeness, and I looked down at him. This poor little guy, the first time I caught it, they have to be a male, and they have to be 5 3/4, and it was a keeper. And then I looked a little closer, and this poor little guy had lost 3 of his legs and 1 of his claws. And I just said, I can't eat you. You've had a worse year than I've had. I said, that's just... This poor little guy, I tossed him back in. I said, yeah, I'll catch you next year. You know, you can grow, theoretically, they can grow their legs back. Maybe I'll catch him back next year and he'll be this big. I don't know. Whatever the case, probably not. But I tithed him against next spring's crab. And I said, I'm just going to put you back, because you know what? I don't want to go through this next year just trying to hang on to every last little thing. I don't want to just need to be in control of every last situation. I want to give control to the Lord. I want to just tell him, Lord God, you lead me where you want me to go. You guide me where you want me to. You tell me what to give and I'll give it. You tell me what to say, I'll say it. I just want to be led by you. Anybody say amen to it? Say amen. And then he says what happens from that is that's when the blessing gets released. He said this one place in Deuteronomy 15. He says, let none of you have this evil thought in your heart that you say, oh no, the seventh year's coming. Remember the seventh year for setting people free and for getting rid of the debts? Don't say to yourself that the year of Shemitah is coming. That's the word. The word is Shemitah. It means remission or release of debt. King James calls it the year of release. Because when we have a soft heart, when we have an open hand, we release a blessing. And friends, I'm convinced that what he's talking about does not require a lot of money in your bank account. It doesn't. It doesn't require that you have your act all together or that you have a perfect life. It does not require that you don't have any challenges in your life or that you don't have struggles in and of yourself. I'm still convinced that one of the best solutions to depression and anxiety is to plug in and to find some place to be a blessing. Man, it is one of the most therapeutic things you can do, is turn around and just be a blessing to somebody. It's amazing at how much different. I cannot tell you how therapeutic preaching is for me. Not just because I get to tell people what to do, but whenever I am so focused on myself or my own problems or how I'm feeling or what's going on with me, I got to get out of myself and just come and do everything I can to just try to minister to somebody else. And I go home exhausted and filled up at the same time. I don't know if that's possible, but it just something. I just say, Molly, I just need to get someplace where it's just not about me, where it's about somebody else. And we can all be a blessing, all of us, to somebody who is poor and needy. So I said I was going to talk about these two words. By the way, do a study one time. These two words, poor and needy, it's a pair phrase. They show up together a lot in the Psalms, in the prophets. Poor and needy are like two sides of the same coin. They're not different. They're actually synonyms. The poor is the ani, and the needy is the evyon. Or you can reverse those because they're kind of the same thing. But in this passage, he says, listen, he goes, don't be close-handed to, listen to it carefully, not just the ani and the evyon, but the anika and the evyonka, which means not just the poor and the needy, but don't be tight-fisted towards your poor and your needy. Remember I said in Hebrew scripture, it's very attached to the land and very attached to the community. And he says, those poor people are not just some other people. They're your poor people. They're your needy people. And sometimes that need is material. Sometimes in Hebrew scriptures, it's talking about somebody that doesn't have a home or whose crop has failed or has gone through a tragedy or has lost their husband or something has happened where they need assistance from the rest of the community. Sometimes poor and needy is something that is spiritual. It's something that they need to know as far as the good news. They need discipleship. They need ministry. They need prayer. Sometimes to be poor and needy is something that's going on emotionally, that they need ministry. They need encouragement. That's one of the biggest impetus for this next series entitled Of a Sound Mind was just for me realizing how much people need encouragement. People need encouragement. I shared with you a little bit about the friend of my son that just a couple of weeks ago took his life, and it's been a big deal in our family. We talk about it every day, and it's been just a real tender time for our family. And the more I think about this young guy, because we loved him, had a whole rest of his life ahead of him, I just keep saying the same thing. Man, it's just amazing. We can never underestimate how much people need encouragement in the world today. With all the bullying, with all the viciousness on Twitter and on Facebook and people picking on each other, people need the Lord and people need grace and people need encouragement. Don't we? We need encouragement. So I hope you can handle it. There's going to be as much encouragement as I can muster over the next few weeks because I think it's something we need to hear from the Lord. Listen to this phrase in Psalm 109. It says, but you, O Lord the God, deal with me for your name's sake. Because your mercy is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Do you hear how the sense of that word is? Sometimes the need is something material. So I think that ought to be a part of our mission. Sometimes that need is spiritual. That also should be part of our mission. Sometimes being poor and needy means that the need in my life is something that you can't see. It's scars that you can't see. It's emotions and it's thoughts that I carry with me. And I think the church can be a place of healing for that as well. Amen? And so I just want to leave you with the song today. No, I'm not going to sing it, even though part of me was tempted. But this has become my favorite song just because of, even in the last couple of weeks this season. And we've just spent a lot of time crying together. And I found this song. I just heard the tagline of it on a commercial. And I said, I love that song. I got to go find out what that song is. It's now become my new favorite song. Well, it's been out for a couple of years. You might know it. It's a song called Rainbow by a singer named Kacey Musgraves. And she's won several awards in country music and at the Grammys and Album of the Year and nominated for Song of the Year. And you know what I love about it is it's just so very simple and kind of sentimental. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've listened to it. I said every once in a while, the Lord will minister to me. Sometimes it's through sacred music or religious music. Sometimes it's not even, sometimes what people call secular, even though I don't really even think we should put titles like that on it. Because sometimes it's just a song or a poem that just ministers to me because I needed that encouragement. But if you're going through a hard time, she wrote this originally as an encouraging note to herself because she was going through a hard time. So she had written it 6 years earlier just as an encouragement to herself. But it's become kind of a message of hope to anybody who's going through dark times. So if you're going through dark times, or maybe you've come through a dark season and you're just coming out of it, or even if you're still going through it, then just allow this song to minister to your heart today and just receive it. If it's something the Lord wants to speak into your life, that he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you. Amen? Listen to this song.
When it rains, it pours, but you didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising waterline. Well, the skies are finally open. The rain and wind stop. But you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella, but darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. If you could see what I see, you'd be blinded by yellow, red, and orange, and green, and at least a million others. So tie up the boat, take off your coat, and take a look around. 'Cause the skies are finally open, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm. Hold tight to your umbrella, but darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. So take off your coat and take a look around. Everything is all right now, 'cause the skies are finally opened, the rain and wind stop blowing, and you're stuck out in the same old storm again. Oh, there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Yeah, there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. It'll all be all right.
Amen. Yeah, I love that song. Every time I hear it, I just think about all the people that are going through hard times. You know, when I talk about blessing and the blessing of the Lord, sometimes we think the blessing just comes in the good times. And I have found the reason that Scripture is so powerful and the gospel still works today in our life is because so much of it was written during a difficult time. And so the blessing of the Lord comes in a lot of different forms. Listen to what Jesus says. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And now that you know these things, what? You will be blessed if you do them. Just do them. I'm praying for this next year that, Lord, my heart doesn't get hard. I'm praying this next year that I keep my hands open wide. Just see the blessings happen. You know, somebody asked me this morning how our Christmas was. And I said, it was great, but it was different. It was different. So our Christmas Eve, I had my mom over, Grandma Fran, and, you know, we opened presents on Christmas Eve, and then a lot of the teenagers went, and my son that lost his friend this last year was up, and Molly and I and him and Grandma, and we just sat and talked, and he was able to open up, and we cried together, and we talked, and he shared, and we talked about his friend, and it was different. It wasn't just a happy, joyful Christmas Eve, but I talked to my mom yesterday, and both of us thought, I think that's one of the most special Christmas Eves I've ever spent. You know, it's not always about the happy day. Sometimes it's about a healing time. And I'm quite sure that the healing's not done. But sometimes it's about those times that we get to invest in somebody's life and just get to see the Lord move in their life. And so I can't promise or even pray that we're not going to have any hardship in 2022. But I can tell you this, that as long as we walk with the Lord, blessings are going to flow. Blessings are going to flow. Would you stand to your feet with me today? And if you feel comfortable, grab somebody's hand next to you. And that's if you feel comfortable standing, by the way, too. Feel free to sit if you don't. But can I just pray today? Let me pray the other kind of blessing, too, where I wish one upon you. But Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that you would just pour out in abundance your blessing. Lord, that you would just give, Lord, and pour out your grace, pour out your wisdom, and pour out your direction. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, today for everything that you are in our life. We pray, Lord, that there would be healing in our families. We pray, Lord, that there would be closeness and that there would be a bonding. Lord, that you would bless the work of our hands, that you'd bless businesses and the things that we put our hand to. Bless the ministries that you lay on our heart this year. Lord, may you pour out your blessing on our church. And as we do, we'll be quick to pass that blessing along. And we just give you all the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful New Year's.